Welcome along to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. An exciting weekend coming up this weekend. Cheltenham returns, a three-day November meeting coming up. We're going to be covering 2 days of that. We're going to be looking at Saturday. We've got four races to cover there. And we'll also be looking at a couple of races on Sunday, which include the Greatwood Hurdle and the Schlur Chase. And we'll also have a little trip to Lingfield on Saturday for a couple of listed all-weather contests as well. As always, do get involved with the show. Do like, subscribe, get your questions and your naps and your best bets down in the comments. I will respond to as many as I can over the weekend. Let's welcome in the team then. Who have we got on this week's show? We'll start off with a man who's flying in with his naps on the Racing Postcast, Mr. Tom Park. How are you, sir?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Yeah, it's been a lucky few weeks the last few times I've been on. So yeah, fingers crossed we can continue that streak. But yeah, I can't wait for the racing day. This weekend I'm at Cheltenham, leaving very early in the morning. They're all 3 days. I say I'm there all 3 days. We don't actually go on the Saturday. We watch it in a pub in Cheltenham. The old boys are not too keen on the crowds and stuff. And to be honest, it's great crack in the pub. So yeah, but can't wait. This is, with outside the festival, without doubt, my favourite meeting of the year. So, yeah, really excited.
Yeah, it really is a great meeting to attend. I'm actually going to be attending tomorrow, but I won't be attending the rest of the meeting. And Johnny Pearson, how are you, sir? I mean, you've been a fair regular on the Postcast in recent weeks. How many winners have you got for us this week?
Hopefully we've got, well, nine, if that's how many races we're covering. And we'll take the lot. But no, hopefully we can take a few winners and keep everyone happy.
Yeah, hopefully so. Well, let's get stuck into the racing then, gents. And we start off with Cheltenham on the Saturday. It was the 145, which is a listed novices chase over just over 3 miles here, where Mr. Coffee tops the market 11-4. Good Risk at All is 7-2. We've All Been Caught also 7-2. Broadway Boys 5-1. Ala Philippe 13-2. And 150-1 outsider is Cloudy Flamingo. And Johnny Pearson, you can go first here. Who do you like?
I like the horse who goes by the name of Good Risk at All for Sam Thomas. I think it was a very good performance at Carlisle last time out. Comes here race fit. I think the distance is obviously perfect for him, having won over it last time. And I think he's going to have the edge over the likes of Mr. Coffey, who's gone in at favourite, who's got a couple of question marks over him still, and obviously hasn't had a run yet this season, which would be a negative for him. And I think the trip he might find a bit sharp. So Good Risk at All for me, then.
Good Risk at All, yeah. Mr. Coffey, mine and David Jennings, Cliff horse, this horse, trying to get this horse to win, so difficult. He's 11-4 favourite. It is interesting here that Nigel Twiston-Davies has two runners in the field. Obviously, Sam Twiston-Davies probably riding Good Risk at All due to the ownership. Interesting that Nigel having two runners and Sam not on either of them. Who do you like in here, Parky?
Yeah, I'm a Good Risk at All fan as well. I'm a big fan of this horse, to be fair. He was really impressive last time. He was one of them horses who, one of these like handicap hurdlers who steps up. He reminded me a little bit like Edward Stone did, where he stepped up to kind of chasing, and the fences have just been the making of him. I know he's only had one start, but he jumped delightfully throughout. He had a very good horse in Giovinco, who was jumping the third last alongside him, came down. We all know what he did next time. Lucinda Russell, really, really bullish about his chances this season. I think Good Risk at All would have beaten him. I think that it's his jumping that really put Giovinco under pressure to make that mistake. And I think that's going to be a valuable asset in a race like this. Yes, he's got some second, third season chases in the likes of Mr. Coffey. So they're going to be experienced whether he's got that jumping advantage over them. But he was brilliant. Couple of question marks. He is stepping up in trip here. I am not, I'd prefer them to have gone. He was entered in the 2 mile and 2.5 mile handicap chase on the Sunday. I'd have loved them to have gone for that because I do have a question mark over the trip. And the other just slight gripe is the fact that, one, is he really suited to Cheltenham? He's been beaten here a couple of times. And two, he was really impressive on first time out last year at Carlisle, and then wasn't quite the same on his couple of starts. A little bit that's really tempting. It's just blunting my kind of enthusiasm a little bit to kind of really get stuck in. I will still back him. I think he's got the potential to go quite high this season, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do. So yeah, I am a good risk all fan. I think he'll win. I will just hesitate a little bit on the basis that I'm not quite sure yet whether this is his optimum trip, but we'll trust Sam Thomas to get that right, I think.
Okay, good risk at all for both the gents in the 145 there at Cheltenham. Moving on to the 220 then at Cheltenham. This is a great race, always is every year. It's the Paddy Power Gold Cup Handicap Chase, over 2.5 miles, Premier Handicap, with Stage Star for the Paul Nicholsjar, tops the market at 9-2, 7-1 about not long till May, the Real Whacker and Unexpected Party. Il Redotto is 17-2, Fugitive is 10-1, 12-1 about Angel's Breath, and Easy as That, and 14's Bar. Cracking race this, Parky. Like I say, it is every year. Who do you fancy in this?
Yeah, I love this race, and it really is a cracker. We've obviously got two proper Grade 1 horses, Grade 1 Festival winners, indeed, at the top of the market. I couldn't really have the Real Whacker. A race like this, you're going to need at least £8 or £9 up your sleeve, and I just can't have him as a horse, a 170s horse, really. Stage Star, the two of them, would be the more likely winner, I think. But again, off 155, the big issue I've got with Stage Star, historically, you really need to have had a run in this race. I think the last winner to win this race without a run was Anna Cotti. It's a trend that's been like it's been a trend that's stood out for years and years and years in this race. And time again, short price horses get beat after not having a run. And that is enough to put me off Stage Star. The one that I like here is Angel's Breath. Hoping it'll be a good day for Sam Thomas and the team. Look, this would be some training performance, and it has to be said. I just got a sneaky feeling. His comeback last year, which he was over 3 years out. I mean, his last run before that was before COVID, believe it or not. So he had an awful lot long time off the track. They pitched him up in a Grade 2. He was quite well backed, 4-1 against Pick Dory, who in hindsight he had no chance against. He actually travelled for 80% of the race, like he hadn't been off a day. And he jumped brilliantly, he travelled brilliantly, he just got tired at the third last, and by the second last he was pulled up. I think the team thought, bingo, we've got, there's plenty under the bonnet here, and we've got a horse to kind of go forward with. And I think they maybe identified this race way back then. He ran in a 2 mile handicap chase next time at Chepstow. That trip's far too short for him. Ground would have been too quick for him. He finished second. He was beaten a long way. But again, it's just nursing him back to kind of full health. And then his run this season over hurdles, probably to keep this mark intact, because I think they think he's well handicapped. He ran a stormer, travelled brilliantly through the race, turned the bend in, beaten. He was well beaten in the end, but he finished second. They pulled a long, long way clear of the third. I think he's really well handicapped here. If you go back to his old form, I mean, he was a really exciting novice. I think he was favourite for the turners at the time. It would be some training performance, but if there's one horse in the race who's got 12, 13 pounds up its sleeve, it's probably him. And I just think he's really interesting. If they get the rain as well, this guy loves soft ground. He's not going to have an issue with that. When there's a few in the market where you'd kind of think, I think he's got a really good chance. There's risks obviously attached, but I think 12-1 is more than fair.
Okay, 12-1, Angel's Breath. Could be a good hour for owner Di Waters with Angel's Breath. Yeah, 12-1, like you say, was a very exciting novice. Johnny Pearson, I mean, the Real Whacker, Parky's just mentioned there, it'd be some performance to go and do this. Are we looking at a true Gold Cup contender if this horse can win off this weight?
I think even if he can win off the weight, I still don't see him as a Gold Cup contender. I don't think he's quite, you know, the levels of Gallop and the Champs and Brave Man's Game as we saw last season. You know, going back to what Parky said, I'm very much want the horse to have had a run this season as well coming into this, and you know that takes out the top couple in the market bar the not long till May. And the one that really caught my eye is Unexpected Party for Harry and Dan Skelton. Obviously, winner at Chepstow, what, a month ago, beating Nappers Hill fairly comfortably. And obviously, Nappers Hill has gone on to win very impressively at Wincanton, was it last weekend? And I think that's really rock solid form. And I think there's more improvements to come. I know he's an 8-year-old and you can question how much improvement's there, but he's not had a ridiculous amount of racing. I think that's, of what we've seen this season, is definitely the best form on offer coming into this for me. And I think he's the one that they've got to get past if they're going to win the race. Anything else in there?
Okay, unexpected party in the Paddy Power Gold Cup for Johnny Pearson and Angel's Breath at 12-1 for Tom Park. Let's move on then to the 2:55 at Cheltenham, which is the 3-mile Paddy Power Games handicap hurdle class 2 event, where Buddy One tops the market at 6-1, 13-2 about Judicial Law, Placenet 7-1, Shan Blue is 8-1, Chantry House and Mocha Devassi are 9-1, and we're looking at 14-1 and bigger about the rest of them. Real open looking field here, Johnny Pearson. Who for you here?
For me, it looks quite tricky. I'd take a chance on Placenet for David Pyatt, having his first run, having come over from France. Put in some very good performances over there. I think a step up in trip is likely to suit the horse as well. And you know, he is a bit of an unknown quantity. And I think his mark that he's been given could massively, massively underestimate him, just being given 124. And his run last time behind Clondalkin Castle at Compare, I thought was very, very good. You know, it says he's 4/5, but he was only 2 lengths behind at the finish. Because Buddy One heads the market, and he won well last time. He'd had a lot of runs without getting his head in front. And this is, in my opinion, it's going to be a much stronger and tougher race than the race he won last time. So I'd be wanting to take him on with Placenet, and I think he's got a really good each way shout there.
Okay, Placenet 7-1 for the David Pipe stable. Parky, who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I'm going to take a chance on Placenet too. I just think that a little bit what Johnny said, this race looks quite competitive. There are a few that are unexposed, there are a few exposed. There are no more unexposed than Placenet though. David Pipe won this race with a very similar type about 8 or 9 years ago, a horse called Cat Cow, I think it was called. And look, the French form is hard to weigh up, but if you look at it literally, Clondalkin Castle, we've got a good grasp of where he kind of lies in with regards to the British form. He's been rated in the 160s back in the day. He raced off 154, went off 14-1 for the Coral Trophy in February time, finished second to Picdor in a Grade 2 the start before that. He's rated in the 150s. Placenet gave him £4 that day and was beaten just 2 lengths. So the handicapper has taken a mighty chance, rating him 124?
Yeah.
I mean, that is like way off where I would have handicapped him. Like, even if he was a mark in the 140s, you'd be thinking, oh, that it would be interesting. So 124, I think you've just got to really, you've got to take a chance. Given his French pedigree and form, you would think that he's going to handle conditions if the rain comes. Look, I think he's one of them where, look, he could be no good at all, but the way that David Pipe was speaking of him in his stable tour last week, I think they think he's quite handy, and I think they think he's well handicapped. So I think he's a great bet here. Yeah, I just can't believe the handicap has taken such a chance, if I'm perfectly honest.
Another joint selection, Placenet there in the 2:55. And like you say, Catco won this race back in 2014, a very similar type for David Pipe. And I've got a feeling that I agree with you, gents, that this horse could go very well once again. Let's go on to the final race we look at on Saturday from Cheltenham, which is the 3:30, which is the Paddy Power Intermediate Handicap Hurdle over 2 mile, 5 furlong, where Springwell Bay is 9-4. Resplendent Grey is 100-30. Grey Name is 6-1. London Office Calling is 7-1. Wonderful Eagle is 17-2. Tiger Jet 14-1. Rock My Way 20s. Another Choice 22-1. And Fortune Favours the Bold is 40-1. Parky, this is probably, I think, one of the shortest price favourites we've had so far, which is rare, a 9-4 shot. But is this a good favourite or not?
Yeah, I think this is a good favourite. He's got some really good novice hurdle form from last season. He won really well first time out. And then there was a lot of people disappointed when he finished third at this meeting last year. The form's turned out to be quite good. Fenacross has turned out to be, he was a good horse last season. Won a very good handicap at Aintree, I believe. So that form's pretty rock solid. I'd be disappointed if there isn't a little bit more to come off 137. And looking at the race, it's not, I just can't see one that's really unexposed and going to leap out at me. I just think he's the class of the race. And I think 9-4 is about right. As I said, these can be a little bit of a minefield, this Saturday card. So I don't like getting involved in these short price favourites in handicaps usually. However, I think Springwell Bay is the class of the race, so he'll be the one I'll be having a play on.
Do you agree with Parky there, Johnny?
I agree with some of the points he's made there. Obviously, Springwell Bay has got the best form in the race on offer. But I would be tempted to take a chance on Resplendent Grey here for Ollie Murphy and Harry Skelton. He was beaten 9.5 lengths last time, but I think it was still a pretty good performance from an improving horse, and the winner of that race could potentially be going for Grade One honours later on this season, and actually runs in the Grade Two on Friday. So it'll be interesting to see how Captain Teague runs on Friday, and then, you know, if he goes and bolts up, for example, I could see him being a lot shorter than 10-3 come Saturday morning. I think I'd rather take a chance on him receiving £10 than on Springwell Bay, who's obviously not had a run yet this season, although the John Joe O'Neill Yard have fired in quite a few impressive winners so far.
Okay, yeah, Resplendent Grey might be worth looking out for Captain Teague and what he gets up to on Friday with regards to a form boost, but you might see the money come if Captain Teague were to win on Friday. So that's the races that we're covering on Saturday from Cheltenham. We're going to be covering the all-weather shortly after this.
You spoke, we listened. Introducing Race Cards Redefined. 3 brand new and unique race cards tailored for your needs. Our new and improved standard race card is the punter's favourite and is everything you need to make your selection. Get the maximum amount of information in the palm of your hand with Expert View. Cover all areas and get all the same information as our newspaper. With Compact View, you can make a quick decision on who to back. View more runners and more odds on one race. Which race card will you choose?
Welcome back to the second part of the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. It's Sam Hart, Tom Park and Johnny Pearson taking you through the weekend action. Just a quick reminder, it is Safer Gambling Week this week here at the Racing Post. Here on the Postcast, we always advise, do bet with money that you can only afford to lose. So yeah, all the details about Safer Gambling Week down in the description. Do check that out. Time to get on to the all-weather then, gents. We've got two races to look at in our second part here from Lingfield on Saturday. The 2.36 is where we start, which is the Bet UK Churchill Stakes, a listed contest over 10 furlongs. Regal Reality for the Sir Michael Stout Stable top the market at 5-2. Fox's Tales is 100-30. Blue Trail, 9-2. Forest of Dean, 7-1. Sir Busker is 9-1. Rousey is 16-1. And Tyrinthian C is 18-1. Tom Park, all-weather racing during Cheltenham. Look at this. We've got a couple of races to cover. Who's you liking this?
Yeah, this is like scandalous, to be honest. I have an opinion nonetheless. Most people who know me will know that I have an opinion on just about everything. So I might as well have an opinion on the all-weather. The way that I look at it, I don't have an awful... I haven't looked at it massively, I'll be honest. But Blue Trail comes out best at the weights. He's 9-2, which I was a little bit surprised at. I'm just not convinced Regal Reality can be trusted at them sorts of prices. Charlie Appleby's are running well, so I'll side with Blue Trail, but I'm quite more than happy to pass the baton on to you guys.
That's fine. Okay, right. Johnny Pearson, you have a stronger opinion on this race, I'm sure. Who for you?
I really like Fox's Tales, which is, you know, you might question, he's not run since since June, his last two runs were disappointing. But they were both on turf, and he's only run three times on the all-weather. He's finished first, second and third, not necessarily in that order, but he's finished, of the three runs, he's always been the first three. And if you go back to Lingfield over 10 furlongs early this year, you know, he was third behind Lord North, not beaten too far. And his next start at Kempton, he beat Rogue Millennium by three lengths, which who obviously then went on to win at Royal Ascot, which is obviously rock solid form. And I think he's got a lot more, there's a lot more going for me there than Regal Reality at 5-2 for all he's a very consistent horse. But you know, he's also only run once on your weather, which throws more question marks up than one might want. But yeah, I think Foxtails has probably got quite a lot of upside at the prices for me.
Okay, Fox's Tales for Johnny Pearson. I mean, I'm going to come to it probably towards the end of the podcast, but I really like the legend that is Sir Busker in here. I think he's got a major chance. Ignore his last couple of runs on soft ground. He just doesn't enjoy running on soft ground, and people might think Sir Busker should probably be retired by now, but I think they've got a lot of belief in this horse. You look back at February this year where he ran an enlisted contest here at Lingfield, was second behind Manifest. He's actually got some good form on the all-weather going through his career. And remember, just over a year ago, he was actually third in a Judgment International behind Baid on good ground. I think a quicker surface here is really going to suit Jim Crowley aboard. Drawn in two, got a lovely draw. I think 9-1 is far, far too big about Sir Busker on Saturday. One more race to look at on the all-weather then, which is the Golden Rose Stakes at 3:11 there at Lingfield. This is a sprint over six furlongs, a listed contest where Takarib Bay, Abraham of Gold, Exalted Angel, Mischief Magic, Summergan, Pink Crystal, Kinto, they all take their chance in here. Johnny Pearson, who do you like?
I like 10-1. I like Kinta for George Bowe and Billy Lotnone. Who's she's not had a huge amount of running, but she was a course and distance winner on her debut a while back now, of course. But and obviously that was a much lesser grade race, but it just shows that she handles the surface in the track, which is good. This will be her third run since the Windup, and last time of the second, she won very impressively at Newmarket. And you know, if you take that win, and if she can replicate that on the all-weather here, I think she could be very difficult to beat, provided she gets a good break from stall two.
Okay, yeah, stall two. I mean, that's the place to be if you're looking from my point of view. So Busker in the race prior, but Kinta currently at 10-1, and Billy not now on board. 10-1 might be a big price. Tom Park coming in. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I like the favourite. I think I was quite impressed last time, Mischief Magic. He had a gelding up, I think, over the summer, and that could just be the kind of key to him, because he took his form to another level last time. I think he's the class of the race. There are a couple of very good handicaps. I mean, Aberima Gold won some big handicaps last year. If he can transfer that form into this race, then he would have a big chance. And obviously the old boy Summer Gams, if it was a couple of months ago, I think he'd probably have a right chance in a race like this. But I just think Mischief Magic probably has a class edge. And as I said, Charlie Appleby's running so well at the moment. I think he's probably set for a decent spell on the all-weather Mischief Magic this winter. So yeah, Mischief Magic for me.
Mischief Magic for Tom Park. Yeah, Summer Gandy seems to run every time there's a postcast on, to be totally honest. 20-1, and hopefully he can run a big race as well. So there we go, two races from Lingfield covered. We're going to be back shortly after this little promo for Members Club, where you can still get 50% off your first 3 months, and we'll be looking at Cheltenham on Sunday. Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club. Remember, you can still get 50% off that first 3 months, as you can see in the advert. All the benefits of Racing Post Members Club and why you should be signing up. Now, it's worth on a big weekend like this to cover a couple of races on Sunday. I know we don't have the full decks as of yet, but worth looking at them nonetheless. And it's the 2:55 at Cheltenham where we start with the Schlur Chase over 2 miles, where John Bond tops the market 2-1 on. Edward Stones 5-2. Nube Negra 6-1. Banbridge 8-1. Editor de Gite is 14-1. Dancing on my own at 25-1. Simple as this, Parky, is it? If John Bond turns up, he'll win.
This is a good race, though, isn't it? This is a tricky one because I think John Bond will win. I think he's a terrible price. But then you could argue every horse has his price. This is assuming that the likes of Banbridge, I can't imagine the ground's going to be right for him to take his chance, but it's a little bit unpredictable how much rain they're going to get. So it'll be interesting to see what the ground is. Look, John Bonn is the second favourite for the Champion Chase, and Edward Stone is about 3 times his price. I think this is a kind of last chance saloon over this trip for Edward Stone. According to Adam King in the weekend of the last couple of weeks, the idea is they're going to see how he gets on here, and that will determine whether they go for the Tingle Creek or for the Peterborough Chase with a view to stepping him up for King George, which would be really exciting. I am a big Edward Stone fan, generally. I think he is probably the value in the race, in the sense that if you are having a bet, I probably would rather back Edward Stone at 2-1 than John Bond at 2-5. But I don't think that Edward Stone will win. I think that John Bond will win. So I don't think I'll be having a bet. But if 2-5 is your thing, I couldn't really put you off John Bond. I think he's probably the best horse in the race. I don't think he was quite right in the Arca last year. Like, he was a brilliant jumper. And even that race at Warwick, it was a very peculiar performance. And I just wonder if something was niggling him a little bit. If you go to his later form at Aintree and Sandown towards the end of last season, I think that's a much better John Bond to kind of judge. And if he can reproduce that, then he should win. I won't be taking anything close to 2-5, however, but I think he'll win.
Yeah, look, is it a matchup, Johnny Pearson, between John Bond and Edward Stone, or is there something else that could surprise a few in here?
I failed to be captured by any of the other runners in the race. For all they've got some good pieces of form in amongst them.
Banbridge would give him money if he turned up. I
think he's been beaten too far by the sort of likes of El Fabiolo to really be involved for me. If you look at, you know, the John Bond form with him, I just don't see him getting close to him. But I'm with you. I think the prices are completely, completely wrong. There's no way John Bond should be 2-1 on for this race. Granted, in theory, he's got the most potential, but you know, you don't have to go back far to Edward Stone's first run of the season last year in Tingle Creek, where he was a very, very impressive winner. And if that Edward Stone would turn up, John Bond would have a real challenge to actually win the race. But obviously there are question marks over Edward Stone still, which is it's one that you'd really want to see him run before having a bet on him, because you can't be, it's difficult to know what horse is going to turn up here with him. But I think
they didn't find anything, did they, after that's the thing that worries me a little bit. They didn't find anything with him after Cheltenham, and he was
ran a stinker for whatever reason.
He did run a stinker, but he was quite good the time before that, and he was really good in the Tingle Creek. But yeah, I kind of agree. I think you probably want to see Edward Stone first, and then it's either the Tingle Creek.
I don't think I'll be having a bet, but I mean, obviously, John Bond, second favourite for the Champion Chase, which is fair enough. But I can't see anything come March time, provided El Fabiolo's fit. I can't see anything getting near him. I think he's far too good of all 2-mile chasers.
Absolutely. Look, it's a hell of a spectacle on Sunday to be watching. It's not a betting proposition, like we said during the safer gambling speech, just saying that you don't have to bet in every race. Enjoy the race for what it is, and John Bond versus Edwardstone is going to be a hell of a spectacle, like I say, in the 2:55 at Cheltenham on Sunday. Now, a race that's going to have a real open looking field is the 3:30 at Cheltenham, which is the Unibet Greatwood Handicap Hurdle, over just over 2 miles here. We're only a matter of time for Willie Mullins' 4-1 favourite, Iberico Lord 7-1, Nemean Lion 15-2, Lode Sue is 8-1, Look Away is 9-1, Knickerbocker Glory is 10-1, 11-1, and bigger about the rest of them. Come on then, our Irish handicapper Johnny Pearson, what do we make of this only a matter of time that's been well supported during the week, straight into 4-1 favouritism for a Paul Byrne owned horse?
I'm very surprised to see him a 4-1 favourite.
I'm not, though, with the Paul Byrne colours. I'm not surprised in a big handicap to see this as short as it is.
He was running well last time when running out of the last, and he would have been close to the winner. Whether he would have won the race or not, I'm not sure. But for me, that form's not good enough to be winning this race here. So I mean, first run for Willie Mullins is another factor in there. He's obviously moved trainers, but yeah, it's a strange one for me. That, for all I can see, why he may have been gambled on, I can't be having a 4-1 favourite for this. Obviously, I thought Knickerbocker Glory might be a little bit shorter in the market following his impressive win at Ascot last time out. For me, as good as that was, I think the race just 2 weeks prior, as impressive as comfortable as the victory one was, I think it would have taken a lot more out of him than people might realise, and he might need another week to sort of fully recover. I'm thinking he might just find this coming a bit too soon. But the one that really caught my eye was Punctuation for Fergal O'Brien. Obviously, he's had a run round on the had a run round at York on the flat and won over 2 miles with Holly Doyle and was really strong at the finish. And prior to that, obviously, he won at Aintree beating Blue King Doro, who has obviously shown some very good form since winning at Cheltenham at the meeting in October. And I think that's a really strong piece of form as well. And I think he could be very overpriced at 14-1. And for me, he's very much an each way proposition.
I completely agree with there, Johnny. I think Punctuation is far too big at 14-1 in this year's Greatwood. Come on then, Parker, only a matter of time, 4-1. I said I'm not surprised to see it so short, being a Paul Byrne horse and a handicap hurdle over in Britain, but you've got to be taking this on, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Like, this is, like, you've got two, you look at this two different ways. This horse is either the shunter, of which I still wouldn't take 4-1. I mean, this is a ridiculous price. Like, or he's Thousand Tears from last year, which got smashed off the board, then drifted like an absolute barge. I think he went off about 53 or something on Betfair on the day of the race. I think they think this one is well handicapped. I think the £10 that he got from the British handicapper probably meant he got in the race, so they're probably delighted with that. He's an intriguing entry. Willie Mullins at this meeting in all of time has had 3 winners, and 2 of them were Uncle Junior. So this is not a meeting that he really targets. He's had 9 runners in the Greatwood. All of them have been beaten. If there was no Paul Byrne in this horse would be double figure price, even with trained by Willie Mullins for the first time. Mm. This is as competitive a Greatwood as there's been in years, in my opinion. I think there are an awful lot of horses. I mean, we'll see at declarations, because there might be a couple of ones, the likes of Lucia, who could really be thrown in off her mark, who has a little bit of class about her. I'm not sure whether she'll run or not. The one that I like is Look Away for Neil King. His only defeats in his career came 3 starts over hurdles last season. Neil King's were really on a torrid form at that point. You can excuse them. And they were so bad that they were too bad to be true. If you go back to his bumper form, he won a Grade 2 at the Aintree Festival. He absolutely bolted up. Now, I think it was the strongest bumper, But the second is now rated 134. The fourth, Blow Your Wads, rated 134. Chianti Classico was down in 10th. That probably wasn't his true form, but he's rated 141 over fences. Look Away is rated 132. I just think that he's got the potential to be miles better than that. He ran in a grade two. He won a grade two again really easily over course and distance in October. Absolute bolted up. He got put up £10 for that, but like there was no way that he was ever 122 horse. It's just a classic example of a horse being really well handicapped as a second season novice hurdler on the basis that their trainer was not in the best of form the season before. He's won his last three starts by an aggregate of about 42 lengths. This is the perfect horse you want for a race like this, like one that can go quite hard from the front. He's going to stay further in time, which usually is a big bonus in a race like this. I think he's going to go on all the ground as well. I think he's got a really, really good chance here. It is a competitive race. I agree with you on punctuation. He was one that was on my shortlist, but there are a few that are on my shortlist. I just think that Look Away, I just look at his mark and I think this, he won a grade two last time. I mean, that's, he won a grade two at Aintree Festival. That isn't, you don't do that in that easy fashion unless you're a good horse. I think he's probably got 10 or 11 pound up his sleeve and that might be enough to win this.
Okay, Look Away 9-1. Look, yeah, fair few on the shortlist for a lot of people, but only a matter of time. Certainly isn't at the price of 4-1, but you never know. Could end up being just a proper, it could be a graded horse in here, and you probably need that to win a race like this. So we will wait and see on Sunday. So that's the races covered from the weekend that we're going to be covering here on the postcards. But is there anything else, gentlemen, that you want to mention, Parky? Anything this weekend that you're looking forward to other than the race we've covered?
Yeah, I know this obviously goes out, should be out in time for Friday. There was one on Friday that I just think is a mad price. Horse of David Pipes called American Sniper in the opener, the 110. Pipes won this three times in the last 10 years, so he targets this race a lot. He's had a quiet time of things, Pipe, but his string are really firing this year. And I just think that this one looks, I think his first time cheap pieces. If they work, he could be really well handicapped here. He's come down quite a bit. They've got Fergus Gillard in the saddle, which in this kind of conditionals race is a good booking. He was 50-1 outside of the field yesterday when I was doing my notes for this. He's into about 20-1 now. I still think it's a big price. I just can't resist having an each way play, just given that Pipes won this three times in the last 10 years. And with, I think he had a 40-1 shot in there at one point. So they get a little bit underestimated. And I think the jockey's an eye catcher. And yeah, I think there's just a little bit more to come from American Sniper. He's only a 5-year-old, I think, 5 or 6-year-old. So he's a little bit unexposed. You've got to put a line through his last couple of runs. But yeah, he's of interest. And then on Saturday, just really surprised that Burdett Road isn't favourite, to be honest. I was so impressed with how he jumped at Huntingdon first time out. I thought he'd be definite favourite. I know Jonjo's got one, a French horse from McManus that is favourite. But he's going to have to be really good to beat Burnett Road. I mean, it's a top-class flat horse that's shown that it can jump hurdles at speed. He maybe isn't the type, we'll find out, to win these kind of plods around Cheltenham. Usually it kind of favours one that's going to stay a bit further in time. But 5-2, I'd be more than happy to take my chance. Really excited to see him run anyway.
Okay, so it's American Sniper in the 110 on Friday to look forward to, in the 12:35 on Saturday, Burdett Road, currently 5-2 for the JCB Triumph Trial Juvenile Hurdle there. Johnny Pearson away from Cheltenham this weekend. We've also got Navan to look forward to in the return of a certain Facile Vega.
Yeah, we do. My idea of this season's Arkle winner, I think Facile Vega. I think if Marine National goes over fences, I think Facile Vega is the better horse. And for whatever reason, it didn't happen at Cheltenham, but then really came back to form at Punchestown. I think that was arguably better than what Marine National did at Cheltenham last year. We'll see in the pockets in the race as well, which obviously, in that race, and then one at Aintree. But I think in the pocket will definitely be suited for running over further, and I expect him to be
I'd very much expect him to be going up in trip after this race. I think Facil Vega, not a bet for me. I think he's opened up at 8-13. But I think, I'm tempted to have an anti-pace bet for the Arkle before this race. Because, if he wins well, that price will just shorten even further.
Okay, is there anything else that we should be looking forward to? And having obviously the Troy Town, anything like that? Is there anything else?
We've obviously got the Italian Ledger, which is interesting.
Oh, I bet Parky's looking forward to that one.
Yeah, I think Gordon Elliott might have a good chance of winning the Troy Town.
I mean, people are saying about Gordon Elliott sending all his horses to Troy Town and the Down Royal last week. He's been doing that for the last 10 years at the meeting at Down Royal. He's just literally the past winners. It's always him winning the races there. So that's not something that's immediately new. And Willie Valens is obviously sending his elsewhere and gets his wins somewhere else.
I actually don't think Elliott will win the Troy Town, but I actually like Horse of No Meads, Devil's Cotron. I think that's got a really good chance. Looks really well handicapped, jumps well, good record on these kind of races. So yeah, it would be a turnout for the books though when a trainer's got 90% of the runners and you're going against him. But we'll see at declarations just how many he actually has.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, it's a cracking weekend of racing. There's so much to get stuck into and look forward to. So really looking forward to that through Friday, Saturday and Sunday. But all that's left to do now is to get the naps of the weekend. We'll start with the nap king currently. Don't want to put any pressure on him here. But Tom Park, I think this might be four in a row, you're saying, on the postcast. Yeah, is that right?
Three maybe, yeah. Look, I've been going for the big races of the day and it's been working well. So I'm going to stick with it. Paddy Power Gold Cup on Saturday, 2:20 Cheltenham, Angel's Breath. As previously mentioned, I think this horse has been laid out for this, and well, it clearly has. If it returns back to his old form, he's going to have bundles in hand, and you're going to need that to win a race like this. I think that this will be a training performance of the ages by Sam Thomas, so I'm quite keen. Angel's Breath in the 2:20 at Cheltenham.
Okay, Angel's Breath in the Paddy Power Gold Cup at Cheltenham on Saturday. Johnny Pearson, who are you going to go with?
My nap will come from Sam Thomas runner in the 145 at Cheltenham with Good Risk At All. I think he will just prove too good for Mr. Coffey, having had a run already this season and, very impressive. And, despite the fall of Giovinco, still may have gone on to win that race. I think, he could end up being a lot better than his current markers this season.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, it could be, like I say, for the Dye Watercolours, a good hour there at Cheltenham with Johnny's pick coming in the 145 there. And I'm going to go to Lingfield on the all-weather and I'm going to be napping up Sir Busker at 9-1. Like I say, ignore his last two runs. You can excuse the runs out in Maidan and his listed second at the start of the year was very good. And like I say, he has very good form on quicker going. I think this surface will suit looking at his all-weather form and look third behind Baid. Just over a year ago. I think 9-1 is a really fair price about Sir Busker, who, look, if things don't work out here, could be retired on the day, but I think he could be a leveller above some of these in this field. So that's it for this weekend's postcast. We've got a little bit of time to spare. Parky, go on and just reiterate your plans. What's going on this weekend?
Yeah, going to Cheltenham. Can't wait. The Holy Trinity, really. So, can't wait. It's one of my favourite weeks racing the whole year, so really excited.
It is a cracking weekend. Johnny Pearson, where are you this weekend?
I'm playing golf on Saturday, so I think I'm probably going to get somewhat wet in the weather, but it's a it's a big group of us and I can't really get out of it now, so we're just going to have to stick up deal with it, but should be good fun still.
There we go, yeah, golf, watching the racing on your phone whilst you're going around. I've done that plenty of times on a Saturday. Nothing wrong with that. I think I've got to get up at about 4 a.m. tomorrow to head off to Cheltenham. It's a long journey, Parky. I mean, I'll probably see you there. I'm only there on Friday and heading back producing some of the shows that we've got on over the weekend as well, with Good Morning Cheltenham and The Morning Post both taking place on Saturday, so looking forward to that. Do join us again next weekend for the Racing Postcast. Plenty of action going on all the way up till Christmas, so looking forward to all that. Do like, comment, share and subscribe as always. Big thanks to the gentlemen for joining me, and you can join us again next week at 6:30 on Thursday evening. Thanks for watching.